Morning, everyone.
Morning. Yeah.
When I was first told again to speak, I have two copies here. Actually, these are different sermons, really. But I was asking God what He would want me to share. So I looked at the book that we're doing, John's Gospel, and I was actually on John chapter 11, so I'll work on that. But during studying that, I saw the teaching about prophecy first. It's about receiving a prophecy and how we can receive a prophecy. It's just that after Saturday night, the Lord says, well, you read it again, so I read it again, and then this is what He wants us to hear more. So I'll be tackling this one off, and then it will be probably for the future, and then we'll be discussing what the Lord wants us to hear today instead. I'll start with reading from John chapter 11, verses 17 to 44. This is a story that you all know already. John 11, 17 to 44. I'll start reading verse 17. It says here, "Now when Jesus came, He found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb 4 days. Bethany was near Jerusalem, about 2 miles off, and many of the Jews had come to Martha and Mary to console them concerning their brother. So when Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went and met Him. But Mary remained seated in the house. Martha said to Jesus, 'Lord, if You had been here, my brother would not have died. But even now I know that whatever you ask from God, God will give you.' Jesus said to her, 'Your brother will rise again.' Martha said to Him, 'I know that he will rise again in the resurrection on the last day.' Jesus said to her, 'I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in Me, though he die, yet shall he live. And everyone who lives and believes in Me shall never die. Do you believe this?' She said to Him, 'Yes, Lord. I believe that You are the Christ, the Son of God, who is coming into the world.' When she had said this, she went and called her sister Mary, saying in private, 'The teacher is here and is calling for you.' And when she heard it, she rose quickly and went to Him. Now Jesus has not yet come into the village, but was still in the place where Martha had met Him. When the Jews who were with her in the house consoling her saw Mary rise quickly and go out, they followed her, supposing that she was going to the tomb to weep there. Now when Mary came to where Jesus was and saw Him, she fell at His feet, saying to Him, 'Lord, if You had been here, my brother would not have died.' When Jesus saw her weeping and the Jews who had come with her also weeping, He was deeply moved in His spirit and greatly troubled. And He said, 'Where have You laid Him?' They said to Him, 'Lord, come and see.' Jesus wept. So the Jews said, 'See how He loved Him.' But some of them said, 'Could not He who opened the eyes of the blind man also have kept this man from dying?' Then Jesus, deeply moved again, came to the tomb. It was a cave, and a stone lay against it. Jesus said, 'Take away the stone.' Mary, the sister of the dead man, said to Him, 'Lord, by this time there will be an odor, for he had been dead 4 days.' Jesus said to her, 'Did I not tell you that if you believe, you would see the glory of God?' So they took away the stone, and Jesus lifted up His eyes and said, 'Father, I thank You that You have heard Me. I knew that You always hear Me, but I said this on account of the people standing around, that they may believe that You sent Me.' When He had said these things, He cried out with a loud voice, 'Lazarus, come out.' The man who had died came out, his hands and feet bound with linen strips, and his face wrapped with a cloth. Jesus said to them, 'Unbind him and let him go.'" Praise be the Lord for the reading of the scriptures. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for today. Father God, we thank you for this passage that we have read about Jesus raising up Lazarus, Father God. Lord, we pray that whatever message you have in store for us, Father God, Lord, go deep into our hearts, Father God, and let us learn about you more, Father God, each day and every day that we listen to you, Father God, not just now. Lord, we thank you and we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Praise God. So this story is quite familiar to you because this has been told several times. I remember we also did this during one of the old age Sundays about this story. So I was a bit cautious reading about it and saying, oh, this is the same thing again, something like that, something like that. But actually, two messages come out of it that we have not, that I have not, known of before. So we'll read about this and then we'll see what Jesus wanted to tell us about the story. Reading about John, we've been to John's Gospel for several, months already with John and I doing the Gospel series. But we are not told of the names of the people whose wedding Jesus turned the water to wine. Did they tell us the name of the person? No? No. We are also not told of the name of the Samaritan woman or the official and his son in chapter 4 of John. Nor the lame man who was 38 years in chapter 5. We're not told of the name as well. Nor the man born blind in chapter 9 that we've also been discussing in the past. But in chapter 11 here, we immediately learned the names of the people. It's the names of Lazarus and his sisters, Martha and Mary. For the first time in John's Gospel, we read of Jesus loving people, loving specific people within his community, within near him. Surprisingly, there's no mention of love in John chapter 1:1-18, the first book. Yes, God so loved the world in John chapter 3:16. We've read about that. People love darkness. We read that on John chapter 3, verse 19. And Father loves the Son on the several verses after that. But now in John chapter 11, verse 3, Lazarus is identified as a man that Jesus loves. So is this particular person, who is Lazarus, is a man loved by Jesus when he was on earth. Do you want to have somehow feel that when if you're here on earth when Jesus was here? It's so good to hear that when Jesus loves you personally. And in John 11 verse 5, we are told Jesus also loved Martha and her sister Lazarus. Martha and her sister and Lazarus. So Jesus loved this particular family. Jesus loved this. Jesus has this relationship with this particular family besides the disciples. Right? Jesus loves his disciples, but this particular group of people, Jesus also loves. So what did Jesus do in response to Lazarus being ill? Saying, Jesus loves Lazarus, but what did he do? If we go back a few verses on John chapter 11, verse 4, on what the response is of Jesus to when he was told by Martha that Lazarus was ill, he said, I'll just read about it because it's not written on my copy. So let's just read about it. John chapter 11, verse 4. And I'll just look. So that I won't miss the words. 11, okay. So verse 3, Martha said, therefore the sister sent to him, saying, Lord, behold, he whom you love is sick. When Jesus heard that, he said, this sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God may be glorified through it. Okay, so at this point in time, Jesus already knew what will be happening, right? Jesus already knew what will take place. Now, Jesus loved Martha and her sister and also Lazarus. That's what he mentioned in verse 5. So when he heard that he was sick, says in verse 6, he stayed 2 more days. Right. When I remember the first time I was told that my dad was in the hospital, I was really, my heart is really bothered. I wanted to go home immediately, but it was the lockdown, so I can't go. But this, it's a striking difference, but we will look at it more deeply on why Jesus did this. He said, verse 6 said, so when he heard that he was sick, he stayed 2 more days in the place where he was. After this, he said to the disciples, let us go to Judea again. So he stayed 2 more days. He wanted to delay going to Lazarus. Why? What Jesus does in this episode or this scene seems calculated to teach his disciples to wait and to hope and to trust him. When we are on those times in our life where we think we're holding on to a ledge and about to fall off. I think Martha and Mary was in that position in their life. They're like, oh no, we don't have any hope anymore. My brother is dying and Jesus is not here. Yet he's not coming. Yet he's not coming. After that, we read earlier, the sisters will each say to Jesus, Martha and Mary, they will say, oh, Jesus, if you have been here, Lazarus would not have died. But we can see in verse 4, Jesus already explained himself. He already said, this sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God may be glorified through it. Jesus loves them, so when he heard, he waited. it's quite curious. So when you ask God for when you're in trouble or you have a difficulty and you ask God for something and he responds, wait. the response is not even yes or a no. It's wait. Jesus is not going to leave those who he loves in a lasting lurch or in a situation. But he will leave them there for a time in order to lengthen the lasting glory he means to give to them, to lavish upon them. So that he would want them to feel the love that he wanted them to feel when they received the special blessing after the thing, after the event. Taking Martha at her word on verse 28 that we read earlier, this would lead to the conclusion that the gospel does not record everything that, the apostle John did not record everything that has passed or Jesus and Martha talk about. But Martha left the crowd and went to Mary. She said something about Jesus and said, she said, oh, Jesus is looking for you, by the way. And he's there. But during the time that Martha talked to Jesus, it's like a formal discussion. Like, I don't know if Martha the eldest? I don't know. I never checked. But Martha was talking to Jesus when Lazarus died, like business-like. She said, oh, Jesus, if you have been here, he might have been well. Might not have died. But when Mary learned about it, she fell on her feet. And then she said, oh, Lord, if you have been... It's the same wording, really. But it's expressed very differently. So we can see the difference of these two people, Martha and Mary, on how they approach Jesus. But nothing has changed. See, the business-like approach of Martha is a way to approach Jesus. And then the falling at his feet approach of Mary is also different, but nevertheless, Lazarus was still dead. That didn't change. It will not change how you pray, how you call unto the Lord, on what the outcome will be. It is His glory that will be revealed on this particular situation when God wanted it to be revealed to you. So that, as I've said earlier, God will not leave you hanging. If He ever leave you hanging and then you fail, He will make sure you'll be all right. He will make sure you'll be safe. In the few verses that's recorded on verse 33 to 36 that we have read earlier, I'll just read again very quickly. Jesus saw her weeping. This is Mary, and the Jews came with her weeping. He groaned in the spirit and was troubled, and he said, "Where have you laid him?" They said to him, "Lord, come and see." Jesus wept. Then the Jews said, "See how he loved him." So if it was not recorded in the scripture, we would have said, this was like just scripted. Jesus knows what will happen, so he's just delaying things so that he will prove his glory. He will prove he's the Son of God when he raises up Lazarus. But that did not happen. It's just we see this recorded in 33 to 36. It says Jesus has a personal connection to these people. He cared. Jesus cared. Jesus cared for us, even on the times that we're in trouble or we're having difficulties, and we feel that Jesus is not with us. We're like, "Lord, you're far away from me. Lord, I know we say, "Oh Lord, you're omnipotent. Oh Lord, you're omniscient. Oh Lord, you're beyond time. You know what will happen to me in the future. So maybe I'll just wait for what the outcome will be." But Jesus cares for you. In that particular situation, when you have that trouble, Jesus cares. You can cry. Yes, we can cry. The Lord does not tell us to be like mannequins or people who doesn't have any feelings when we come into trouble. Like, we're not Christians who are like that. We can feel. We can cry to God. We can cry to the Lord. Yes, Jesus delayed what happened. There's a grain of truth on saying that Jesus did delay what happened to show off his power. But that doesn't mean he is just a puppet-loving master who wanted to just show off. No, he loved Lazarus. That's why he wept. That's why we can see that's why the people can see how Jesus loved this particular person. You know how you recognize when someone else like cares for someone, right? You could see how they act. You could see how they respond. Maybe this is what the people, the Jews who are with Martha, see on Jesus. They saw how he cared. That's how he cared for us. Sometimes we're tempted to think, God doesn't care. Yeah, sometimes we think, because of his sovereignty, but because of his being on top of time, ahead of time, or looking, being the Alpha and the Omega, he knows what will happen to me already. He might not have cared for this particular situation, small situation in my life. I just have to weather through it. I just have to wait through it. No. As I've said, you can cry. Because God cares for that particular situation in your life. This way of thinking, or the way of thinking where we think that God doesn't care, is a bad application of the knowledge of God to our own lives. And we often project our own coldness onto God himself. As if the fact that God has written the end of the story, we know what he knows what will happen, and made him emotionally uninterested in the plot or the characters. But that's not what we read. That's not what's happening. He's interested in you. He's interested in the little details in our life. From the earliest pages, we read that God is emotionally involved in the narrative of Lazarus' story. Yeah? So he even cared to bring his disciples with him, wherever they are. Oh, I think it said here when... where they are, right? So they had to walk back again to Judea in the place where Martha and Mary lived and Lazarus lived. He brought everything again. Maybe they're roaming the country already, preaching and teaching people. But because he loved this person, he went back. Sin is awful, and death is its terrible consequence. The woe and misery of death troubles Jesus as well. We can see that in chapter 11, verse 33. It says here, "Therefore, when Jesus saw her weeping, and the Jews who came with her weeping, he groaned in the spirit, and he was troubled." Jesus was troubled because death, I think John read about it earlier today, about death is the last thing that Jesus will defeat at the end. He was troubled that these people are feeling the effects it has, feeling the effects of death. And that has troubled his friends. So they were very concerned. Jesus was very concerned, and he was deeply moved. John tells us that Jesus was deeply moved and greatly troubled that he wept. No one knows better than Jesus what will happen. No one knows better than Jesus what is the end of the story. And yet he mourned. And yet he wept. Jesus loves people, so he weeps with them and over them. Jesus loves us, so he weeps over us and he weeps with us and over us when we also encounter difficulties in our lives. Now, on to the part where Jesus was raising Lazarus. We see in John chapter 11, verse, where is that again? From 38 to 44, right? We'll not read that again, but just wanted to put a distinction on what happened to this particular raising of Lazarus as against to the other things that happen in the Bible. When Elijah and Elisha raised people from the dead, as you have read it, maybe if you haven't, you can see them on 1 Kings 17 to 24 and 2 Kings 4, 18 to 37. When Elijah prayed for a boy, girl, and Elisha prayed for the boy. So scripture indicates that only a short interval of time had passed between death and resurrection. It's just like the boy died, and then Elijah prayed for him. Oh, so he rose, he came back again. By contrast, Lazarus has been dead for 4 days. It's been 4 days. Jesus only knew what's happened to Lazarus by that time. We don't even know. Where is he? Where is Lazarus dead? But Jesus knew. Jesus knew. And he was deeply moved. He was deeply moved by the scene. So he knew what had happened. And do you know why he was also deeply moved? Because when he was led to the tomb, he see a picture of what is awaiting him. What will happen to him. He will be in a tomb and the tomb will be empty. Praise God. That's what happened. Both of those tombs will be emptied. Jesus knew about it. So verse 39, Jesus gives the word for the stone to be removed. And then Martha said, Lord, he has been dead for 4 days. You don't want to do it. Don't do that. It's going to smell. But Jesus said to Martha again, I wanted to read that thing. Verse 40, Jesus said to her, "Did I not say to you that if you would believe, you would see the glory of God?" There are times in our lives when God is giving us already the escape ladder or the escape rope or the thing that will get us out of the situation. And yet we say, "Is it true, Lord? Is it you? Are you taking me away of this?" Jesus said, "Did I not say to you that if you just believe, you would see the glory of God?" Oh Lord, but that's impossible. The situation is very impossible. How can you get me out of this one? The Lord can. Only He can. Jesus, chapter 11, verse 4, has already asserted that the illness of Lazarus was for God's glory. So on this point of the story, he's now on that particular point where he would want to show his power. He would want to show the authority that God has given him. So he reminds Martha, Martha, this is the time you will see God's glory. At the time when the Lord says to you, now you will see God's glory, just accept it. When someone tells you, or the Lord tells you in a still small voice or something else or through some other people, the Lord is here to help you now. Just listen. You will see God's glory. When Jesus speaks of God's glory, he means that death will be overcome. So we all know that the last enemy to be destroyed is death. John has read about that. And that is showing God's glory in this particular passage. He means death will be overcome. He means that the most difficult thing that you will face in your life will be overcome. So whatever it is you're facing now, it's just, well, I don't know. How does it compare to death? It's very difficult. I don't have any money now for my expenses. Oh, my salary is going to be short. And then I'm 2 days. I need to pay for this. What's worse than that? You say, and yet God can show his glory over death. A beloved brother and friend will be restored to life. And Jesus will be seen as the one who loves and is the only one who is able to help us. The relationship between Jesus and his people is not a sham or like just enacted to give opportunities for Jesus to show off. No. Jesus loves his people, as I mentioned earlier, and he weeps for them. Nor is the relationship with Jesus and the Father. So you can see here in verse 41, later part of 41 and 42, Jesus talks to his Father. He said, Father, I thank you that you have heard me. So past tense, you can see there. And I know that you always hear me. But because of the people who are standing by, I said this, that they may believe that you sent me. So Jesus knew that, well, Jesus is always in communion to the Father because of their relationship his relationship with God. And yet, he would want the people to know, to hear about this particular relationship. So he said these things, and they can hear it, that he was communing to the Father. And he is different from, I don't know, when Elijah was raising the kid, he fell down and prayed several times to God. When Jesus, you see here, was raising Lazarus, he already thanked the Lord, thanked the Father. It's like he's always communing with God. He doesn't need that additional prayer. He just said, okay, Lazarus, come out. The authority is with him to show to the people the power that only he has. We can sometimes think that, oh, the solution lies to when I have my promotion. Maybe when I have my promotion, I could just breathe well or have a good life in the end. Or when I had my retirement, when I retired, yes, I will be free from all those difficulties and I could finally have a good life. Sometimes we try to look at other things as sources of comfort or sources of things that will help us through life. But Jesus is the only source that will give the peace that we wanted in our lives. Even peace here on earth. even peace here on a difficult world. Yes, Lazarus has died. You might have said, he's in a good place. Why did Jesus raise him up? Yet, he showed it because Jesus loves this family. Jesus loves these people. Jesus cares about these people. And Jesus cares for us. So what will be our response? How do we respond? Let's recall what Jesus said about the man born blind and the death of Lazarus. He said, Jesus will receive glory from our suffering. Jesus will receive glory on the blind man. Why is this man born blind? They said, is someone sinned? No, it's because this is to prove God's glory. What does that tell us? We must wait on him to heal us. We must wait on him to heal us. And we'll say, I think that's not fair. That's not fair. I should wait. Lord, I need the healing now. I need this now, Lord. But yet, Jesus chose the glory through suffering. Jesus chose to help us at the right time. Why is it always like that? Why do you think? When you look back to what happened in the past, on those sufferings that you've encountered, then you will remember. It will make your faith grow stronger because you realize, because of that situation, because of that thing that happened in the past, it's made me stronger. That's why God did that. That's why God did that. Because he wanted me to learn. Because he wanted me to know. Yes, I did cry back then. Because it's difficult. And God cares for me. But on the now, when I look back, I can see, yes, this is for your glory, Lord. You can see God's glory in that plan. The book of John, this gospel that we're reading is having no interest on Lazarus to testify his experience. You can see we didn't read anything about Lazarus like even thanking the Lord. No? Because John, the Apostle John, is not interested in that. John is interested on what Jesus did. John is interested in exalting Jesus. John is only interested on what Jesus has done. We should also be only interested on what Jesus has done for our life. We don't want to look back to the past and say, because I felt this, I'm too low in the past. No, we should just be interested on how God had helped me. The Lord has helped me that time. Yes, the Lord has helped me that time. Because that will increase your faith, not put you down more. You're not a Christian that goes like this and goes down again like that. You wanted to be a Christian who grows and grows because God teaches you every day in your life. And then you yourself doesn't look at the material, painful things, but you look at how God has overcome it for you. Because of what John shows us of Jesus, the fearful finality of death for ourselves, even for ourselves, and those who we love has been softened by the empathy of Jesus. And we face death in hope due to our confident expectation of the resurrection, which Martha has always talked about on the first discussion with Jesus. So what should be our response? Our response should be to see Jesus. Exalt Jesus on everything. But yes, I would go back to my initial point. On that time where you're suffering, Jesus cares. You can weep. You can cry to the Lord because he cares for you. Amen. Let's pray again. Hallelujah. Lord, we thank you for your love that Lord, never fails. And your love is evident, Father God, in this passages that we've read, Father God, and how you love these people, Martha, Mary, and Lazarus, Father God. We thank you that you cared about them, and you've shown it to us, Father God. And Lord, we know that you cared about us, Father God, on the most troubling times in our lives, on those times in our lives where we're feeling down, Father God, as we cry to you, Father God. We know you're also troubled in our heart, in your heart, Father God, for us. And we thank you, Father God, that you can feel our pain, Father God, because you've been through all of this, oh Lord Jesus. Lord, we thank you, Father God, and we just pray, Father God, that you would give us the right mindset, Father God, to be interested just in you, Father God, as we overcome these things, Father God, overcome these troubles, Father God, and in the future, Father God, look to you, Father God, for growth, for strength, Father God, in our lives again, Father. We thank you, Lord Jesus, and we praise you and glorify you in Jesus' name. Amen.